Mr. President, I was very glad that you were able to explain to the House that I was a last-minute substitute, quite literally. But I'm rather sad to find that I wasn't actually first reserve, but actually fourth reserve. I haven't really been fortified by the last-minute helpful whispered comfort was given to me. Don't worry, they're not expecting very much. And Mr. President, sir, after listening to the whole of your speech and the first 5 minutes of the speech of Mr. Christie Davis, I came to the conclusion that it was a convention of both the Oxford Union and the Cambridge Union not to refer to the subject under discussion. It's true that Mr. Christie Davis then redeemed himself as far as Cambridge was concerned. But you will appreciate, honourable members will certainly appreciate, that in 20 years of more or less rough and tumble political life, I have been at different times insulted by experts. But I must confess that I was terribly shaken when I heard Mr. Christie Davis, as I thought, say that he would be sharing this side of the House with two prominent Conservatives. And the fact that he has corrected that misapprehension hasn't left me altogether completely calm. But the fact is, I am a socialist, and I'm very glad to be sharing this side of the House, not only with Mr. Christie Davis, another member of the Labour Party, but with Mr. Humphrey Barclay, who has been referred to as a left-wing Tory. And the great thing that Humphrey Barclay and I share is a belief in and a love of democracy and all that it stands for. And there is no kind of connection between the moderation, the freedom, the liberty, the justice, and the basis for that liberty and justice which Humphrey Barclay and I share, than the very sad speech to which we just listened from sad but brilliant, but sad nevertheless, from Brother Malcolm. I would ask honourable members, in making up their minds about this motion, not to be in any way misled by the personalities of the speaker, because the three supporters of the motion have the most charming personalities, a beautiful presentation. In fact, they're the most moderate lot of extremists I've ever seen. But indeed, perhaps you might be forgiven for thinking that the utterances of my colleagues were not at all moderate, were quite extreme. And myself, as I stand here, again having in mind the speech to which we just listened, I'm reminded of the words of Lord Clive on an occasion speaking in the House of Lords when his feelings were similarly aroused, and he said, "By God, at this moment I stand astonished at my moderation." And that is very much how I feel. Well, now, Mr. President, you said that many fools have said wise things. And apart from that unexceptionable observation, you seem to concentrate the whole of your attack, as it were, in the belief that extremism is only exemplified in war. You said that no nation was ever subjugated in a gentlemanly fashion. But you forgot, Mr. President, that the subjugators themselves always describe themselves as defenders of liberty, and at all times in the speech to which we just listened from Brother Malcolm, we came against the same thing. He said he doesn't believe in brotherhood with anyone who is not prepared to practice brotherhood with our people, and neither do I. Neither does Humphrey Barclay, and neither do most of us in this hall. He said that what is going on in the Congo is extremism. And I am not prepared to dispute that that is the case. But I don't accept the definition that extremism is all on one side. I don't accept that missionaries out there, white or black, and the same Daily Express that was alleged only to be reported the white missionaries also reported that some black priests were killed out there too. Brother Malcolm overlooked that fact, and I regret it equally. But the great point is about the Congo and about the mention of those missionaries is that whoever is waging a war, they were not, and they were murdered, and we should condemn that. Whoever was murdered, whatever the colour of their skin. I am not generally known as one who is very sensitive to the feelings of the press, but I do firmly believe, and history will prove this, that a great many of the liberties that we enjoy have come about because of the constant endeavors, the constant exposures in the press, and as far as the American press, I hold still less brief for that. But every complaint that Brother Malcolm ranged against the American press, against the American way of life, against the vicious humbugs to whom he referred, was in fact a complaint against extremism, which had turned into vice. The only thing was the extremism wasn't on his side. Yeah.